they're all totally controlled now. You know, as a reporter, I understand that when I see what is taking place and how they are adjusting to hold people's attention, then you can say, well, you know, you people, other than for those that that have an idea of what is happening, the rest of you, you should unplug these boxes, because they are brainwashing you and preparing you for the loss of your freedom.
Yes. Uh-huh. And once that occurred, that's game over. This is their agenda. You probably know about the Georgia Guidestones in I think in Georgia, the States.
No, I do not know about that. Maybe you can tell us about it.
Well, it was put up, it's just some huge monumental structure put up by high Freemasonry, way above the top of the 40th degree, because with the life they get to 40, that's when the truth they get, you see, for those who are selected. It was put up by Masons around the 1970s, and in about five or six different languages, it spells out the necessity to cut off most of the world's population and bring it down to about 500 million people. And that's all it's about, this long dialogue and discourse about how this must be done, and how those who are useless must be culled off. And I believe there are websites on the Georgia Guidestones. It's worthwhile for those to look into. We've already had the spiels by our great animal lovers like Jacques Cousteau, who said the same thing, that to save the planet, if they kill 500,000 per day.
Yeah, he was a piece of work.
Not only him, like going to his lineage, it's very interesting, because he was working for the British OSS during World War II against the Germans. His brother was working for the Nazis, and actually was the editor of their main publication for the French, or the Free France, the French side of the Nazism movement. So they were both sides of the game, these guys, you see. Always. That is the technique of dualism. They control both sides. The followers never know. And so they're the Pied Pipers. They generally are never really two sides to anything. At the top, they're all one. In fact, some of the old Masonic books I have had two high Masons being brought into the floor on the square, as they call it, and promising to publicly be at odds with each other, because they both had people to rule two groups, and they would give the appearance of conflict to the public, but on the floor they were still brothers. So this is traditional, the left wing, the right wing, etc. They're all run by the same people at the top. There are no sides in reality. It's one agenda, one control structure.
You know, Alan, you would really like to meet Brian Desborough, you know?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Brian Desborough, he published his book, And They Cast No Shadows on Masonry.
Oh, yeah.
And the poor guy, he has been boycotted in every move he makes.
And I'm not surprised, yeah.
And they have, he also went, we used to have discussions about the Jesuits, because he and myself, we know a lot about the Jesuits, and so we would discuss the Jesuits. And then later he said, Jesuits and the Masons together. But then when we start to look around us, in every city where you have the Mormon church, you have a steakhouse. And the steakhouses, of course not steakhouses where people eat meat, steakhouses where they have machine guns and they are connected to the Mormon church in Utah. But lately we know we got reports from people in Utah that the powerful ones in Utah are moving out of Utah. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, they have... huge, like these great big trucks, like Safeway trucks, and they're all loaded with their stuff and they're moving out. So where are they going?
I think they're going to the high ground, probably.
They're going to Colorado, most likely.
Well, Colorado is the color red. That's what it really means again. You know, every place in the U.S. has an esoteric meaning. And, of course, Colorado is famous for that. You know, that's a lot of CIA staffers and so on, and bases are located, you know.
Yeah, because the CIA and the FBI, in the last week and a half, they all moved their headquarters there. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did, because the fellow who's got the website up for me has been hit constantly with red alerts on his computer from bases all connected with the Department of Defense and so on. 1,500 in an hour or so, in fact. It's just like a one-armed bandit spinning, you know. One after another, the British intelligence services in England, the Pacific Rim security guys based in Queensland, Australia, CSIS Canada, RCMP, just one after another trying to get into the computer. And so yeah, I'm well aware of what's going on.
We're
under such immense surveillance right now. Amazing, really.
It is like you sort of question, you know, but like we have had the remote viewers in here.
Uh-huh.
And the one remote viewer that came in, I said, if you don't watch, I come after you. I said, you know, I said, you have no right to be here. And we had a sign sitting here that said, you are trespassing, and what you can do, I can do too. And it stopped. And I said, well, that's a good idea, you know, like let them know that you're not going to sit back and roll over. You know, we're not sheep. So what do we suggest, because there has to be something that we could do that gets it out, like really, like kaboom, here it is everywhere simultaneously, so that we warn the people wherever they may be, because people do not know the victims.
I know, and I think in a sense it's see, there are natural things which we often look upon as supernatural because we've been trained that way.
Yeah.
And now I know that the higher Freemasons that I've spoken to, they know this. They've taught this, you know. And yet I believe all these abilities are naturally inherent in every child that's born. And children, I can remember, and you might have done the same thing, where the friends you have or members of the family start humming or putting a song, and it's you at the same point of the song in your head silently.
Mm-hmm.
And then you turn and look at each other and you laugh, because it's quite natural when you're a child. These are natural abilities. So thought itself doesn't stop within your head, within your skull. And a good example that the other side understand this technique perfectly is by one of their own, Arnold Toynbee, the professor who chose the Rhodes Scholars to be part of the secret society of the Royal Institute of International Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And in a speech he gave in the 1930s, 1932, so he is, by the way, a member of the British aristocracy, giving a lecture to the World Revolutionary Party, could run both sides of things. And in the speech he said, a thought which is unique and formulated with good form, meaning you sit first, it's not big, it's sharp, you understand that thought. He said, but it is thought and projected, it is picked up over the planet by people, receptive individuals everywhere. And they will see, where did that thought come from? And but the thought is implanted. And taking it from there, if you go back even further to the mystery religions of ancient Greece, who again were taught, the aristocracy was taught in Egypt, like Plato, neighbor well aware that energy is not lost, it doesn't dissipate. And he said, a thought form can be sent out there and it will attract to like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
So we understand these things, and of course we think of it often as coincidence when we think of someone, but if it happens to you every other day, you know, it's not a coincidence, and it's not just synchronicity. It's the fact that there is a form of communication between people which we've had trained out of it or not to use, basically, to lie dormant, because that itself is a form of power, and power, from the elite's point of view, must be suppressed in the lower orders, as they call it, and used exclusively by themselves. But when you look at their own particular higher masonry, where they take in people who've served them well, train them, they actually get taught these techniques, you see.
Yes, and because their way is to train them and to say at 12 noon you send out these thoughts, you know, and at this time you send out those thoughts, but at the same time we want to, and I think they, the first Chinese emperor, he said, you have to realize if you want to create, you must create it in your mind. And as you want to create, you create in your mind, you use your thought. And shamans, the Tibetan and Chinese shamans of all times, they were the students of his teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we are so many thousands of years later, we also remember that out of the ancient material from Zarathustra was also taught the thought, the divine thought, as a form of kind and peaceful living, the divine thought that would help people to be empowered, to never be enslaved, and that's why they maybe wanted to wipe them off the planet, because they use it to enslave, and the other taught not to enslave, the other taught to be free, to be empowered, to be using your mind to the fullest. And when we now go and look at, we see the Masons, and of course Catholic Church doesn't teach that to the people, that they should use their thought to be creative, to be empowered, because all their thought is used. If you look at their writings, and I tell you, Alan, my custodial father was a runaway Jesuit, so when I was very small, I used to say to him, when they brought out their Christmas thing, I used to say, oh, that is to celebrate humanity. And he used to say, no, that is a Jesus child. I said, not such a thing. And he would get very upset. But by the time I was 9 years old, I was ill, and he said to me, okay, you can win. You can tell me what you want. I said, I only want one thing, that you stay away from these people. And he looked and he had tears in his eyes. He says, don't you believe? I said, no. I said, you're confused. And time went by and he was going to do his Christmas thing again. And he said, you know, he says, you are as rebellious as your birth mother, who was first American Native Indian, and she was raised by the Jews, and he said, and so he said, you don't want to accept what you were taught, neither did she. I said, well, it didn't matter whether she accepted or not, or you accepted. I said, but you know, I said, you're very foolish. I said, because you're like a sheep, one of the sheep, you left them, but you're still serving them. So he went then to this to his church, and I sat beside him, and something very peculiar happened. his glasses suddenly dropped on the ground and they broke. And he looked at me and I said, I'll pick them up. So I went to pick them up and I handed his glasses. I said, can you see now? And he looked and he said, yes, I can see. We go home. And he never went back. He said that was such a powerful omen to him that his glasses fell off. Later in 71, when I saw him for the last time, and he had a very prolonged life after death experience, he said, yes, open my eyes that I can see and my ears are open too. I can listen. And you know, I want people, their children, I want people, their families, to come to this state where we can tell them to shake like a wet dog, that they can shake off their fleas and be free.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because really, we're not living. We're not really living.
No, you're existing.
We exist. We exist according to formulated rules and programs, but we're not living individually. You know, so, and it's a tragedy to think of the generation, the countless generations who go through their entire lives and wars and tragedies and so on, never realizing that an oligarchy controlling all of this, including all the crises that went through in their lives, the national crisis, etc. It's a tragic thing to go through an entire lifetime and die still thinking that everything you were told by the top people and the media is real and true.
Yeah.
Robbing people of consciousness, you know.
Yeah, I think they have taken their free will and they are bottling their free will and they are saying, well, you know, here is the bottle, you're in the bottle and you stay there until you pass away and the lid comes off.
Yeah, exactly.
And we need to have that lid come off today, not in the ancient way of thinking, because they have done that now for the last 5,000 years. They have done this now, and I think that they were part of creating the last flood because they wanted to get rid of all the ancient free people. And we have seen this now travel over the planet. We are seeing it taking place at the Mohawks, where I spoke to the Mohawks 2 weeks ago, and I said to the Mohawks, why would you follow a religion that was part of your genocide? Why would you believe what the government says to you who were part of your annihilation? And, you know, it was amazing because we had given them a lot of help. And it was silent. Not one spoke up. But this week, we had one come and say, I am now asking this question that you have asked because I believe that we need to be educated because you are urging us to think.
Yeah.
Now, you know, when I listen to you and the knowledge you have, and ladies and gentlemen, I advise you to really, really go to his website, to Alan Watt, researcher and author, http://www.cuttingthroughthematrix.com/. And that you are going to have the power, and that you get his books, because the books are going to be your touchable information that you can go back to over and over and over to have you empowered and to have you live in the know. And you can get his book. Each is $25 payable in international postal money. order, which is available at your post office. And you can contact and write to Alan Watt. Alan Watt, Site 41, Box 4, Astaire, Ontario, Canada, P3E4N1, or contact through webmaster at alanwattcuttingthrough@yahoo.com. Alan, we also want to invite you to come on a Sunday night, and the researcher here is looking for the time that we can give you. We hope that we have you soon, and maybe we should have you on a Sunday and a Monday so that we can cover the planet, because we need to get the people out there.
Yes, I know.
Tell us about the binary code, either or. What is it that people should know of? Because the Logos word, we know what that is, right?
Yeah.
Or do they?
I don't think so. I'd say it's even deeper than that. And I don't want to scare people. That's facts to show them today. But when you realize that even the languages were created around the 1500s in Europe, and they were all updated at the same time, regardless of the country. Prior to the 1500s, people were speaking Old Saxon German, really. And in the days of John B. Francis Bacon, and Bacon wrote about it, he said we're creating the new international language of the future, international, which will be called English. And bang, out comes Shakespeare, who introduces over 1,800 words into the language, which creates it, and it's taught in universities, and then, of course, the King James Bible came out, so it was being taught by that method. That the Lutheran Bible out in Germany around the same time, that created what they called High German. And so all the languages were altered around the same period. And language is very important. It's not who you are. It's a method or a means of communication. And it's only one method and means of communication. We're not told this, in fact. But language... I always say we languish in a language because it's so inadequate, especially the English language. It doesn't have the nuances of languages within India, for instance, who have many, many more words for subtle changes and nuances.
Yeah.
We don't have that. But the thing is, here's the key to language, and this is understood long before the 1500s, in fact. If you are a computer programmer, and we are, in a sense, computers, our mind functions similar to a computer, and what came first, the computer or the person's brain, I often wonder about that. But when you think about it, a programmer can predict if he's given a question for the computer. Since he knows the logic process of that computer and the language that's to be used, he will know the answer that it must come to. It has no other option by using that logic to come and that language to come to a particular answer. And people work on the same methodology. They need to tell us what they want us to think. They give us a language to use, a minimalistic language at that. And by the process that we go through, we come to their conclusion. We have no other option. And that's how simple it is to condition people and recondition them throughout their lives along what they think is reality and normality, and things are just evolving this way. It's not that at all. It's intense reprogramming by media, movies and fiction and novels, all towards a common direction, because they understand our logic and how it works. They also have the language that's given us, ABC and D can repeat after me, that they expect the authors to give them their conclusion. I'm trying to get them to participate and think for themselves, and then they'll slap themselves and say, my God, that's been in front of me all my life, you know. And that's when they begin to wake up, you see. It takes that type of formula to make it work. The traditional methods haven't worked up until now.
This is amazing, you know, because the fellow from Egypt is saying that, of course, even Egypt, not only the Masonic bunch, but also Egypt itself, is very angry that he is disclosing what is really written on the hieroglyphs on the pyramids there, and what really the emotions are. And they are very angry at him because he has had some attempts on his life and so forth. But he said, no, truth needs to come out. It's about time. And I said, oh, I wish him good luck, you know. And he was also saying that, and that is a big surprise, because he said, in the writings on the on some of the writings from the pyramids and from the other ancient Egyptian things, he said, it talks there of a form of Muslim behavior. And then I went back, because I have a friend who does reversed speech.
Yeah.
And he did reverse speech on a speech the Queen of England gave. And when you listen to the speech for the Queen of England, actually she was chanting Allah, Allah.
Okay.
And we said, oh wow, now when we look at what is taking place, because Jerusalem is already owned by the Jesuits, by Rome, they have the key.
Yeah.
And when we spoke with Eric Phelps, I said, are you aware that under the rock of Mecca there is a humongous temple ready to go, all hydraulic, all computerized, and it is not too long from now that they have in mind, because the rock of Mecca before was the place where Krishna and Shiva and Vishnu worshipped.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the world isn't allowed to know that either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when we get humanity to a place to understand history as what you are doing, you are bringing such a gift to humanity by saying, okay, this is what is really written there, and that is what you really can understand. Maybe we would say it could still bring a wave over the planet where people are going to start to debate what is in your books, and what they are going to say, okay, this is what is there, it is time to wake up.
Yes, it has to be that way, and things do work that way. It's the sudden crossover from existing to starting to live. When you live, your mind comes awake, and your mind contains so much incredible knowledge. If everyone has it tucked away, really, otherwise you wouldn't understand something which is new and presented to you through the ear all the time. But it's to be activated, and you've been deactivated from birth in this system by parents who were deactivated themselves, and then teachers and so on, all through our lives. We don't really live, we follow programmed agendas because we're being programmed. So when you start to live for yourself, you suddenly can look around you and watch other people who are still under the program, and you will see them walking like robots and so on, and it becomes a challenge then to then reactivate themselves, and it can't be done. Getting back to the binary code, all computerized logic is based on zeros and ones. And we know, of course, even the ancients in Greece talked about, in fact, they supposedly debated whether they give us the zero in mathematics. But zero in Masonry, of course, is the female, and one is the male. high mason of the Skull and Bones, he was talking about the timetable, and the constellations had very important meanings for them. And Pisces was a sign for the Christian era, just over 2,000 years, basically. Mm-hmm. So Pisces was the early sign of all Christian missionaries. The fish, not the cross, was the symbol they chiseled in stone wherever they went. Now we're into the age of Aquarius. Now, you've got to go understand the mythology from Aquarius, because that's the real meanings of where they're going to. You're talking about the plan being at least 5,000 years old. The Romans took gave the name Aquarius, the water bearer, the cup bearer.
Yeah.
But it really comes from the Greek, the much older Greek, Ganymede. Now, Ganymede was the most beautiful boy ever born, and handsome and so on, and Zeus, the all-powerful god, who had to conquer everything and own it, that he made. First he makes it, then he conquers it. That's symbolic of the system. Zeus comes, sees him falling into the water, and as Ganymede's going down, Zeus comes down, turns into a fish, and rapes him. So we're looking at a homosexual affair happening.
I was going to say here, we have the Jesuits.
Yes. Yeah. And
what we did get from lamas from Tibet, who said that the lamas out of the monasteries do the same thing. They rape little boys, and then these little boys, they are used to serve them, and then these little boys get positions.
That's correct. That's traditional in all these priesthoods, yeah. And but Ganymede just rapes them and then takes them to the heavens as a cupbearer to himself, to the gods. And now the deeper meaning to this esoteric meaning was always to create a new type of human, a better servant. And what they're looking for is, again, the binary code, where they can basically bring in, make a male have similar functions to a female by creating the hermaphrodite. And so the lower exoteric meaning that people can buy in books, you always have, well, it's the left side of the brain, the right side of the brain combined. That's only a little bit of the truth. It's more that the male himself will have the ability to reproduce himself. And I thought that will be done scientifically with injections at a certain age, and he could produce the same type of perfect sameness as himself, an offspring the same way.
So now what you just said brings it back to why the Catholic Church and the Muslims behave like women have no souls.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'll tell you the reason why, and a lot of people won't like it, but this is what they believe. And they realize that Eden, the garden of Eden, everything is allegory.
Yeah.
You've trained children to think of real people with the names. Once we picture them as real people, we're now conditioned not to see the truth. So they're allegories. So Eden was the earth. It was nature. It was natural. It was everything that's around you. And if you're not happy with nature, then there's only one path out of Eden, and that's the road of science, which creates elite parties and dominance. And science can only take you to one ending. There's no other way science can go with human nature guiding it at the top. And that's to control everything in the planet and all those underneath the controllers. But Eve, the fall of man, according to the esoteric meaning, is that Eve, the fall of man, was when Eve was separated from the male. That was the fall. And when she was separated, and the prophets and the high priesthoods, never to the public, but when Eve was separated, she became mother, matter, mare. She is matter. Mother is matter, you see? Matter, Moses. So she has no soul. Adam retained the soul. That's taught within all degrees, high degrees of Freemasonry. And that's why Al
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. So that's really what it means. And that's been taught for thousands of years. And if you want to look at, for instance, the symbology of the mystery religion, you need to look at the architecture of the Catholic churches. It's all around you, the stations of the cross. You walk through a vagina to get in. The keystone there, we know what the keystone represents. You always have a church with a tower, that the obelisk, that's the phallus.
Yeah.
And you have the box, which is the female, and then the man wearing a dress up there. So, I mean, this is the mystery religions all around you there. And everyone has been conditioned not to see the symbols that are everywhere. The rose is above the keystone, which is the clitoris. That's very important to all Masons. It's that stone that holds that arch together. And above there's the rose, where the light comes through. And shines, of course, generally, on the man holding the service. He represents the deity. They use the sun as a symbol of light, of course. So this is ancient stuff, and it's been here for thousands of years in front of our faces, but very few people can see what they're actually involved in.
But the strange thing, but Alan, the strange thing is, if you go to some of the small islands around Japan, they were governed by high priestesses and priestesses that were in charge. If we go back to ancient India and we go back far before some of these other hocus pocus stories came out of there, we then discover that somehow or other someone came and said, hey, we have to change that, and so we take the power away from the females, from the mother energy upon the planet, because in the 1600s, late 1500s, 1600s, along the Lorelei, we know that the Roman Catholic Church went out on a rampage and killed all the lady bishops and cardinals there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yes. There's no doubt about it. And even in the early days of the Catholic Church, they allowed the priests to marry at the bottom of the line, that is. And then they reversed that decision once they were fully underway as all-powerful. So yeah, the female has always been an object of not just derision, but almost something which, in a sense, what as they see it, which was necessary for a period that one day would be unnecessary. And when the time comes, when they have all this technology ready to go with cloning, etc., they will create a type of male. We're already being conditioned through the homosexual movements and all the various feminist movements, which have all been used, by the way, towards this agenda, unbeknownst to the followers, because they'll be obsolete as well once the new type of man is brought in, the new type of man being the perfect slave who will be very efficient at what he does and who can actually bear for himself an exact replica of himself when he's injected with a certain hormone at a certain age. And that will be the reward they'll get one day for serving the system, is to have your own offspring reproduced from yourself. Women will be eliminated and the elite will remain unaltered. They've said this in their own books, by the way. Charles Galton Darwin, the grandson of Charles Darwin, he was a physicist and a member of the British aristocracy. In the 1950s, he wrote a book called The Next Million Years. That's quite the book. And he talks about the necessity of culling off the common people and then using, and also towards the end, before they kill them off, they'll have them all effeminized by giving them estrogen in their food and so on, in their water, etc. And then, of course, on to better things, where they'll create a new type of man to serve them. And they wouldn't have the problem of male and female interaction and grief, etc. In other words, a more efficient worker. So you can tell people know what it really means in this timetable. That's why we're here today, and that's why we're seeing the massive movement of legitimizing the homosexual marriage law in the time of Ganymede or Aquarius. That's why the left is till now.
Because the
people themselves wanted it so much that it was time to change society's way of looking at things. Once you accept all that, then there's no normality to hang on to, and you can bring in the next change much quicker, you see.
Is this why we see at the moment they are programming the various religions so much? And of course, that we are seeing, oh, women have no soul, and so we have seen for a while in India how many female babies that basically were killed, how easy it is to take females and to murder them, to see. And you know, the thing to me is disgusting, because as the male-female energy is within each and everything that lives upon the planet, that we are going to see something that will backfire on them like never anything backfired before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If the people involved in these movements, the followers, not the people at the top, because the top of movements, they're generally, they're all looking for the same bunch at the top. The followers realize that they've all been used for a completely different agenda than they'd ever suspect. That would bring on some mayhem by itself. And of course, all these people who are proudly thinking, by you won our rights, etc., if they could only realize what the next step will be, that might just shock them into some kind of action. Because they've all been used. Everyone's been used along the way, you know. Bertrand Russell, who was Lord Bertrand Russell, who helped to initiate communism in China, that was one of his jobs, he was sent over there on behalf of the royalty of Britain to begin the communist process. He wrote a book called The Impact of Science and Technology on Society. And in there, he goes on about, again, the same thing, the need to cut off the majority of the public, keep the more intelligent ones, and then clone from them perfect workers, etc. Same agenda as Charles Dalton Darwin, his buddy. And he also went into the fact that we are given illusions to follow and fake history to follow. He said people will look back on the feminists, they actually won the rights for abortion, etc., and right for women to choose. He said, well, we know, meaning his own elite class, we know that science gave them that right through the birth control pill. And that's true as well, you know. But the people themselves are always used through emotive, by emotive purposes, emotional responses, to help further an agenda which they themselves don't understand. They think they understand, but they're all being used. Because ultimately, in the perfect slave, there will be no male as we know it, nor female as we know it. There will be a one-item thing programmed to do exactly what it's supposed to do, just like an ant.
But they had that at one time already, and it didn't work upon the planet.
Yes, and but they come back with the same thing again, and they think, of course, they've covered all their bases, and that's why they take such a long time in the making of it. These guys, again, Albert Pike said the same thing. He said, we've been behind all world revolutions, meaning the Freemasons.
Yeah.
And he said, the reason we always accomplish our goals is because we lay all the groundwork long before we even begin the physical movement. And what you do is take every possible occurrence, the backlash of them, trying to find ways to counter those things long before it happens, all in strategy and battle planning, just like a general would plan a battle or a war beforehand. And that's how you do it with society. You prepare our minds intergenerational preparation is for the changes to come. And so when something as odd as it getting a brain chip or something, you may find everybody under 20 will think it's just a great idea.
Yeah, because they are, through the movies, of course, going to introduce it, and through the internet, and through whatever else, especially the movies.
Even cartoons.
Yeah, cartoons. Very dangerous stuff that is out there, because people do not know that somehow or other they are playing with their perception, and they are playing with their brain and understanding of what really is and what they want them to believe that it is. This is why we are living in a time more dangerous than in the last 7,000 years. And many, when you speak to people, that they need to wake up, and they say, what for? I said, because you're in danger. You're about to lose even your identity. And that's what you are saying. It's scary.
Yes, this is a horror show. You know, you wake up from the dream into the nightmare, and you have to be able to handle the nightmare because it's very real. Once you do wake up, in a sense, it's lucky, in a sense, like Pandora's box. Once you open it, you can't shut it. That's one thing in our favor. Once your eyes have been opened, you just can't close that box again and go back into fantasy land. But along with waking up comes a process, a natural process, which is able to deal with this horror and to help us function through it towards what we must do to counter it, basically. That's within us. We've been so demeaned and brainwashed, we truly don't realize the power that's within us as individuals. We truly don't. And there's tremendous powers within us that lie latent and dormant, which can't be awoken. And I've seen it myself happen to different people that I've taught over the years, coming up to a tremendous standard where their minds truly are working for the first time.
Yeah, but when you say, you know, of the people that are out there, and we are looking for people to be out there to understand, to have the intelligence so that they can start to reason and say, no, I must protect my children, my grandchildren, I must protect future generations, because we cannot go to a place where we totally go backwards. It just is impossible.
And that's the key that's tip there too, with future generations. People have been trained to be egocentric and live for themselves today. They're disconnected from the past and the future. And that was intentional, you know, the new generation type idea. That was indoctrinated from the top down. So that we will not care about those who come along, but not everyone succumb to it. And ensure we've gone along for so many thousands, maybe millions of years, who knows. And I'm damned it will end like this, where we go out with a whimper, not with a bang. We have a right to be conscious, and we have a right to decide our own path, not what's mandated by a bunch of elite who control us all through their money, their incredible psychological control techniques, and all the various other institutions of religion that have brought us to the state we're in today. We must care about future generations and stop just thinking about ourselves and how to gratify ourselves instantly, day by day. There's more to this than just we who are alive today. Absolutely. That connectivity must be brought back.
What was so amazing to hear George Bush say that he did not want any cloning, any experimentation, any with DNA or anything like it. And I said, well, wait a minute. What are you saying versus what are you doing?
Yes, that's Well, Arnold Toynbee, again, from the Rhodes Scholarship, he said, we always deny with our lips what we do with our hands. And that's what they're doing here.
Well,
they're liars. I mean, that's their job, is to lie to the public. The good shepherd never tells the sheep the truth.
Yeah, that's right, because if you're going to tell the sheep what you're off to, they're going to stampede out of there.
Of course.
And when we look around and we also see what has happened there in the whole area around the Mississippi and what will happen in the very near future, you want to question these people, why are you attempting to stay there? I would get out of the way before they do another experiment. And I was going to ask you if it would be good for you on Sunday, February the 12th, from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Time.
Mm-hmm.
If it
yes,
is,
oh, yes, fine. Yeah.
Okay, then, ladies and gentlemen, if you enjoy to hear the truth, and there's much, much more that you should know, being in the know, remember, not in the now. If you're programmed in the now, you blink your eyes and it is gone. But if you are in the know, you want to know more, you want to be empowered, you do not want to be victim. And then on Sunday, February the 12th, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Alan?
Yes, sir.
Then we give them, of course, more of this, what is not a story, but is reality unwrapped.
We will, yeah.
What would we suggest to these people that are here today listening, that the people go and tell their friends, their family, wherever they may be, on Sunday, February the 12th, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, to be here, open your eyes, wipe the sand out of your eyes totally, pull the plugs out of your ears, look, see, hear, and analyze, because there is much more to this story. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely there is, yeah.
What can they do, ladies and gentlemen, is website http://www.cuttingthroughthematrix.com. That's the website. You want to go there. You want to look. I give it one more time for you who are listening. http://www.cuttingthroughthematrix.com. And cutting through one, the androgynous hermaphroditic agenda, cutting through two, a glimpse into the great world, cutting through three, esoteric unveiled and the meaning of revelations in the high Masonic tradition. I believe that revelation was purposely written to program the people throughout of the ages into war, constantly.
Yes.
How about you, Alan?
It's a plan. It's a plan. It's not a prediction. It's a plan, yes. No doubt whatsoever.
And
it calls itself a prophecy. It calls itself a revealing.
You know, I've had some Christians that got very angry when I said to them, I said, you know, I said, you're so dumb because constantly you are being took over the last at least 600 years in the same kind of mishmash story, and every time they create a war somewhere, you believe that's the Armageddon.
Yes.
I said, and this time, you must not let it happen, because you have the power. You're in the power to say no. You are in the power to protect yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. The Armageddon means the mountain of Megiddo, which overlooks the plain of Megiddo, And that battle took place with the Roman army in the past.
I hope that people did hear that and that they understand that. And Alan, thank you so very much. We see you on Sunday, February the 12th, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you.
And thank you for having me.
Oh, we were so happy. Thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, being in the know, and of course, Alan Watt is researcher and author, and he is putting you back into the basics of knowing. And with this, thank you very much, and good afternoon. Goodbye, Alan.